Rick, are you going to use this Bible?
Use that Bible? Okay.
Good morning. Y'all settle down now. Welcome to our worship service at Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you are a long-term member and attender of this church, or whether you were here for the first time, we're glad that you're here, and we invite you to share in our worship as we sing praises to God and hear God's word spoken to us. I am back from vacation, or at least most of me is back from vacation. We went out west to see some of the national parks and sites out there, and the west is bigger than I ever imagined. So there was a lot of riding to do. You know, we went to see this spot, and then we drove all day to see another spot, and then all day to see another spot. So my head is refreshed, and my buns are sore. Are there announcements that need to be made at this time? Yes, in the back. Oh, really? Okay. Okay. Thank you, Anne Marie. Is there another drive scheduled for the fall? Yes, of course. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Is anybody here from the renewal team? Is there anything to be shared with that? We're heading to dinner. Yes. Five o'clock. Okay, thank you. Any other announcements? Let us unite our hearts and still our minds as we prepare to worship God and listen to the prelude. In our worship service this morning, we are commissioning the Sunday school teachers, and we are celebrating that whole Christian education enterprise in our church. And so our scripture readings, our hymns and prayers and responses are built around that theme. Let us stand for the call to worship. My child, if you accept my words and treasure up my commandments, then you will understand righteousness and justice and every good path. Let us confess our sins, trusting in God's promised mercy. Almighty God, you have called us to be disciples of Jesus Christ, obeying his word and showing his love. We confess that we are often seduced by other voices, by the lure of our own possessions, or by words of hatred or ill will. We acknowledge that we are poor agents of love when we turn away from the cries of hunger and helplessness. O God, we want to be good disciples. Forgive our sin and help us to follow our Master, Jesus Christ. This is the God's word. I will put my law within my people and write it on their hearts. And I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Amen.
So it's back to school time, and that means what? Sunday school starts, yeah. Shopping for school supplies? New crayons? No free times? So I brought a box of crayons here today because I love like the color of the crayon. But my box is full of all sorts of crayons. I've got new crayons and old crayons. I've got crayons with special names. Cerulean Blue is my favorite. And crayons with not so fancy names like brown or gray. I've got crayons that are sharp, almost brand new. Some crayons that are kind of worn out, they're getting kind of dull. I've got crayons with nice new wrappers on them, and some crayons were used so much the wrappers are completely gone, they're completely worn off. So, this box of crayons is kind of like the church. We've got all sorts of people in our church. We've got new people, we've got old people, we've got sharp people and we have not so sharp people, we've got people that have fancy new clothes on and some people with kind of old ratty clothes on. Yeah, we've got people with long fancy names and people with just kind of short plain names. But just like this box of crayons that can make a beautiful picture, I think everybody in our church can work together and do beautiful things as well. And Jesus had a brother named James who reminded us that we shouldn't have favorites. And he told a story about having people come to your house. And some people will come dressed up in fancy clothes and they'll have lots of money. And you might want to treat those people special compared to somebody that comes to your house in not so fancy clothes. Maybe they don't have a lot of money. And James reminded us that we need to be very careful to treat everybody the same because God wants us to not have favorites and love one another. In fact, James reminded us of the most important law in the Bible, which is love one another like we love ourselves. The most important law. So let's try to remember that, especially as we go back to school this week. So let's pray. Dear God, help us to love one another as you have loved us, regardless of the color of our skin or whether we're rich or poor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
my understanding that usually Sunday school begins on the same day that we commission our teachers, but this year we're having to do things a little bit different because next Sunday is the day when Sunday school starts, but it's also the time when we have the Muslim students from Nazareth College speaking to us. So we're going to celebrate the Sunday school this week. We're going to commission the teachers today, and then next Sunday we're going to put them to work in the Sunday school. Our scripture readings today are part of a body of literature that scholars call wisdom literature. Proverbs and James are some of the best known examples from the Old Testament and the New Testament. And as we commission teachers and as we think about our Christian education endeavors, it's probably a good thing to remember the call to wisdom and to faithful living. Our first scripture reading comes to us from the book of Proverbs. We're reading from chapter 2, beginning to read with verse 1. Let us listen for the word of God. My child, if you accept my words and treasure up my commandments within you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, if you indeed cry out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk blamelessly, guarding the paths of justice and preserving the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path, for wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Prudence will watch over you and understanding will guard you. This ends our first reading from the scripture.
Second reading is from James, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. My friends, you believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, who reigns in glory, and you must always be impartial. For instance, two visitors may enter your meeting. one in a well-dressed man in gold rings, and the other a poor man in grimy clothes. Suppose you pay special attention to the well-dressed man and say to him, please, take this seat. While to the poor man you say, you stand over there or sit here on the floor by my footstool. Do you not see that you are discriminating amongst your members and judging by wrong standards? Listen, my dear friends. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to possess the kingdom he has promised to those who love him? And yet, you have humiliated the poor man. Moreover, are not the rich your oppressors? Is it not they who drag you into court and pour contempt in your honored name by which God has claimed you? If, however, you are observing the sovereign law laid down in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, that is excellent. But if you show partiality, you are committing a sin, and you stand convicted by the law as offenders. For if a man breaks just one commandment and keeps all the others, he is guilty of breaking all of them. May God add wisdom and insight into his words.
What's the difference between being smart and having wisdom? What's the difference between knowing lots of stuff and being wise? Let's see if we can put together some kind of an understanding, some kind of definitions about this. Somebody want to make a stab at that and give us a place to start? Yes. Oh, okay. That's pretty good. I like that. Yes. A smart man learns from his own mistakes. A wise man learns from somebody else's mistakes. What else? Anybody else? Yes. To know and to be able to use the knowledge. That's good too. Yeah. Anybody else want to make a stab at it? Yes. Oh, I like that too. Being smart uses your brain. Being wise uses your heart. And? You can be very smart and very unwise. Yes, I think a lot of us can look back on our youth and know the same thing. Somebody once said that being smart is, that having knowledge and being smart is knowing that a tomato is really a fruit, but being wise is knowing not to put it in a fruit salad. There's a difference between knowing lots of stuff and being wise. I sometimes tell people that when I was 23 years old, I knew it all. I had all the answers. I just didn't know what the questions were. Now, half a century later, I'm a whole lot more familiar with the questions, and the answers are not nearly as clear as they used to be. So, the book of Proverbs is a book about wisdom and the search for wisdom. And for the book of Proverbs, wisdom is what it calls the knowledge of God. Now, by knowledge, we don't mean knowing stuff about God. We mean knowing God. Knowing God, trusting God, having confidence in it. And so the author of this book urges this person whom he calls my child, maybe a parent, maybe a teacher, to to search for wisdom, to learn wisdom. As we commission our church school teachers today, and as we celebrate the work of so many people in this church and the Christian education enterprise, we recognize that there is actually a similar kind of difference in what we're trying to do. We're going to teach the children all kinds of stuff. We're going to teach them the stories of the Bible. They're going to learn about Moses and the journey toward the promised land. They're going to know the stories about Jesus and the disciples and all that stuff. But our goal is not simply for them to know a lot of stuff. Our goal for them is to come to faith. And that's a little bit different than just knowing stuff. You can know lots of stuff about the Bible, but coming to faith is more of a search. And so our leaders are going to not simply teach our children and youth, they're going to guide them in that search for faith. What our real goal is not the content of the Bible or the content of the Christian life. It's really faith formation. And that's a little bit different. It's like the difference between being smart and being wise. And so this search really is a search for the knowledge of God, for knowing God, for trusting God, for relying on God all through life. So how will we help our young people with that process, with that search? Not only by knowing the stories in the Bible, but assist them on that search for the knowledge of God. One thing that we might do is to think about what we have learned in our own search and to see if that might give us some hints or maybe some signposts along the way for their search. So what I'd like to do this morning is to throw out some things that we have learned in our own lives, in our own journey of faith, and see how that might help us in our process of Christian education and guiding young people in the search for wisdom and for the knowledge of God. One thing is the primordial thing, the thing that is the bedrock for faith, is that we are wrapped in the grace of God. This is what is the foundation for our lives. The knowledge, the trust that our lives are held by God's grace. And that is the most primitive, the very, very basic foundational statement of faith, that our lives are held in God's grace. We are not sinners in the hands of an angry God. We are not driftwood on the ocean of an uncaring universe. Our lives are held and nurtured and enriched by God's presence in our lives and God's care for us. And so we teach the little kiddies that song, Jesus Loves Me. And when they stand up here and sing that song, it's really, really cute, but it's also our attempt to teach them that basic foundational statement of faith, that God loves us and cares for us and is with us all our days. And when we take those little marigold seeds and put them in the styrofoam cup and water them, you remember the kids doing that. Maybe you did that when you were a child also. We're teaching them that God is the author and the source of all life. And that just like you water the marigold seeds, so you will grow and your life will blossom because God cares for you and nurtures you. This is the most basic foundational statement of our faith. And it really needs to happen long before our kids get exposed to Sunday school. Parents are the real teachers, the real people who encourage this. Give our kids that sense of security and well-being and belonging that they so desperately need. So our parents are partners with our Sunday school teachers and our youth leaders as they share that kind of basic primordial belief and trust in God's love and God's care for us. There are plenty of people who are willing to tell our kids that the universe really doesn't care whether they exist or not. There are plenty of preachers who are willing to make you feel bad about yourself and feel guilty for being alive. But the basic foundational statement of our faith is that we are held in God's love. And our prayer is that our children may find that for themselves, that they will say for us, "This I know in the core of my being, that I am held in the hands of God." In the Bible, we also learn that God is passionate about justice. And our children will learn in Sunday school about Moses and God telling Moses to go to Pharaoh and say, "Let my people go." They will read about prophets, Micah and Isaiah and Amos and all the rest of them, and they will hear that call from the scriptures that God's people are expected to do justice in the land. They will hear all of that in Sunday school. But as they look around the world, as they look around this church, they will ask themselves, is this stuff really real? Do people really live that way? Or is this just something that an old book talks about? They will look at us. They will look at our church and say, do these people really care about the needy? Do they really give themselves and sacrifice themselves that all God's people may live in justice and in peace? Do they really, really think that, or are they just really out to get all that they can as fast as they can? And so our children will look at us. They will look at our church to see, is that stuff real? They will look at our individual lives and ask, do those people really believe it? And so we are the teachers as well. We are the ones the kids are watching. And they will learn whether this stuff is really real or whether it's just a lot of talk and window dressing. We will have to live our lives this way. We will have to make sure that our church's life reflects that. And we will want to give our children and our youth opportunities to try that lifestyle on their own, to have opportunities to feed the hungry, to shelter the needy, to practice justice. Another brown crayon. Actually, I'm kind of partial to brown. Where's our children? Okay. Another thing that we have learned that shows up in the scriptures is that God continues to work for redemption. Now, that in church we hear that so much that it's kind of ho-hum stuff. You know, Jesus is our Lord and Savior. Next sentence. And so we kind of just take it for granted. But when you think about this, this is a radical kind of thing in our world. This is different than so much of what the world teaches us. Our politicians have enemies lists. We know that the way to get ahead is to put others down. How does the Bible talk about redemption? What does that really mean? Our kids are going to ask those questions. And even telling the story of Jesus and his death on the cross is going to raise questions for them. How is it that good people can put a good man to death? What does that say about us as humans? And how in the world can God use such a disaster for a redemptive purpose? They will ask questions, and we will need to be patient with their search. So much of life, so many of the messages that we get in life are all about winning. God loves, everybody loves a winner, and that's what we want to be. We want to be winners. Life is a competition. And we need to get ahead. We need to claw ourselves to the top so that we can be the winners. And God comes along, poking through the trash cans of history and choosing the most unlikely people and working in their lives miracles of joy and courage. Moses throws up every excuse in the book for not going back to Egypt. He does not want to go back there, for he's a wanted man. And he has all kinds of good excuses. And yet God does not turn loose of him. And he becomes the person who leads the people into freedom. Esther is a young woman in the harem of the Sultan, and all she has to worry about is whether her complexion stays clear. And yet she becomes the savior of her people. And Paul, who is the persecutor of the emerging Christian church, becomes its greatest apostle. God keeps working for redemption even among the losers and the most unlikely people to do that great work of salvation for us all. So we're going to commission our teachers, and we're going to celebrate all those who lead our young people and our helpers in this whole Christian education endeavor. But as we do so, we need to remember that we are also their co-leaders, their workers, that as our young people learn the stories of the Bible, they also watch us. They learn from us, and they learn what it is to have faith. They learn that search for the knowledge of God. We are all partners as they make this journey of faith. Let us pray. So, Lord, we ask that you be with those who have formal positions in our work of Christian education. We ask that you work with us all as we lead our young people into faith, into knowledge, and into understanding the knowledge of God. Amen.
Fantastic hymn. We don't have that over at the Methodist house, so that was really lovely. Today is the day we celebrate the coming start to Sunday school and commission our Sunday school teachers. So if you are one of those, will you come forward at this time? There aren't very many, and if you want to be a Sunday school teacher too, you're welcome to join us. There are many places in Scripture that tell us the importance of sharing our faith with our children. In Deuteronomy, Moses said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads." The author of Matthew tells us this: "Then some children were brought to Jesus so that he may lay his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, Let the children alone and do not hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Friends, you have volunteered to serve in our Sunday school. It is your job to announce God's good news to this generation and to tell the story of Jesus Christ so that our children may know him, love him, and serve him in the world. Do you trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior and through him believe in one God who is Parent, Son, and Holy Spirit? If so, say I do. Do you promise to study the scriptures and the teachings of the church so that with imagination and love you may serve the Lord through the week? If so, say I do. Church family, do you promise to support the children and youth of this church with your prayers, kind words, and love? If so, say we do. And church family, do you pledge to support these servant teachers with your prayers, kind words, and love? If so, say we do. Pray with me. Eternal God, in every age you have appointed teachers to tell about your love, power, and justice. We thank you for our siblings in the faith who are willing to teach our children about you. May they be surrounded with your Holy Spirit so that they may know your Son, our Lord, and speak his truth with confidence. Give them the words to communicate your love and tell them about your good gifts so that they will pour blessings over our children and youth. We ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
As we begin our time of prayer together, are there joys or concerns that anyone would like to share with us? Our ushers are going to get the microphone. And I saw a hand.
A joy in an announcement. I should have brought it up at the beginning. But the people that have gardens in the community garden over here have donated a lot of tomatoes. And they will be available in the fellowship hall, separate, all kinds of colors, shapes, sizes, just like the congregation, okay?
All right.
So they are available.
Yes. Thank you.
Fran Peril, we have a joy. We found out on Bob's birthday, when he turned 65, that our son and his wife, Jessica, are expecting another baby, February 4th. And our son, Matt, was home from China with his wife, and they were home for the month of August, and now they're living in Chicago, so they're not so far away.
Anne-Marie Sim, I'd like prayers for a good friend of mine. Her name is Anne-Marie. She has Parkinson's. She's 58 years old. And tomorrow she's having surgery where they will insert two wires in her brain and then connect it to batteries. And they're hoping that through this procedure that it will reduce her tremors and will lead her life into a more positive direction. She's very hopeful, so I'd like prayers for successful surgery.
Okay, thank you. And her name is Anne Marie.
Bob Binko. I'd like to have prayers for my sister Linda, who just underwent major back surgery. So prayers for a speedy recovery for her.
Hi. Andrea Hinch Janssen, prayers again for my mother. She's continuing to go through cancer treatment, both chemo and radiation. Again, she has a very positive outlook. She can feel the prayers from all of you, so please keep those up. Thank you.
Andrea, what's your mother's name? I keep mispronouncing that. Let us unite our hearts in prayer. Lord, we thank you for scissors and paste and paper chain, for kindergarten memories and for teachers who thought that it was important that some of our best memories be the ones in church. We remember the first Bible that was given to us, an award perhaps at church or a present from Grandma. There were words in it that were too hard to pronounce, but we knew that we had been given some kind of rare treasure, that something special had been passed on to us. We give you thanks for that youth leader who seemed to understand us, who put up with our sometimes crazy stunts. Some of the fellows in the group were more interested in the girls than in the lessons, but hey, it kept everybody coming back, and you worked through it all with your amazing grace and patience. And so today, Lord, we pray for our children and youth. We pray for their teachers and advisors and leaders, and we pray for our church. Be with our children, that these may be good times for them. We pray for the young people and their searching and their struggle. Give your grace to teachers and leaders that they may help young faith grow. Be with us all in this church. Gather us into a circle of loving and learning and sharing, so that we may welcome each person and show the love of Jesus Christ. We make our intercessions for family members and friends and members of our church. We are glad to hear good news about the tomatoes and all the produce of the garden. For Jessica's expecting a child. For all the love that you share with us. We lift up our prayers for Anne Marie, for Linda, for Maria. We ask that you give your peace to all for whom we pray. Bring healing and strength and mercy as signs of your presence. We lift up those in our world suffering from turmoil, disruption, and fear. Earthquake and typhoon survivors in Japan. Refugees in Syria and those trapped in areas of fighting. People in Venezuela suffering and struggling with social upheaval and economic distress. Hear our prayers and be the strong defender of those in need. Hear the prayers of your people and use them according to your good purposes for us and for all the world. We close now with the family prayer of the people of God, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us continue our worship as we bring our gifts to God.
Lord our God, these offerings are going to be used to purchase Bibles, to purchase Sunday school material, to buy crayons. We ask your blessing upon the work that these gifts will do, that we may all grow in faith and in understanding. Give these gifts, we ask your blessing on them in the name of Christ our Lord. Rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit, and the grace, mercy, and peace of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore.